Have you ever described a job you had as a nightmare? Maybe it was a crazy demanding boss, a nutty coworker, or just insane everything. If you've ever had a workplace where you had to say, you can't make this shit up on a daily basis, we want to hear about it. Anonymously, of course, on our new podcast, Office Horror Stories. Each week, we'll play back your calls, read your stories, and discuss the craziest, most extreme, and intense workplaces of all time. But to do that, we need your stories. If you have a crazy workplace story in your past or maybe even present, tell us about it anonymously. Just call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. We don't want your name. We don't want the name of the workplace. We just want your story. So you can go ahead and let it all out anonymously. Call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 1-833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. That's officehorrorstories.com. Now you have an outlet to share the craziness that is or was your office. Then stay tuned as we launch the new podcast, Office Horror Stories, this fall. Tell us your story now at officehorrorstories.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, real ghost stories from real people just like yourself. You pick up the phone, you call in, and you share your experience with us at 855-853-4802.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802, the phone number. Call it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And share your real ghost stories with us or write in on our website. If that's more your thing, just go to realghoststoriesonline.com and do just that. And if you're feeling so inclined, you've been listening to us all through the month of October, and now you're going, I could still use some more ghost stories. Well, hey, we do the show year-round. Maybe consider supporting the show, and you'll get all of the bonus episodes we put out every single week, all of the archived episodes, everything there, advanced episodes of the show. It's all commercial-free when you're a supporter. We call it an EPP, an extra podcast person is what that stands for. You do that at ghostpodcast.com. Or if you prefer, patreon.com/realghoststories. All the same content in both places. Whatever platform suits you best, go there, do it. $5 a month gets access to everything. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again. And how are you this fine day, Carol?
Well, Tony, I'm good.
Yeah.
And how are you?
I am. The listeners wouldn't know this because I really don't take many days off from the show because we work ahead when we have to go away, other than like Christmas break when everybody's kind of doing their thing. That's like the one of the few times we have, you know, repeat episodes. But I was actually gone for a week and I am back now. But I'm kind of exhausted because where we went, there was just tons and tons and tons of walking. So I'm a little exhausted, and we're getting ready to move out of this house and move to another city. So I was in an attic all day going through it and taking things down a ladder and putting it in boxes. And then at one point, there was this weird statue that we have up there. It's like kind of, it's not a gargoyle, but it's like a lion, I guess, so to speak. And we had two of them. We bought them at a garage sale. They're kind of cool, kind of creepy. One of them broke, and they both went on each side of the driveway. And when one breaks, you're kind of like, well, they're kind of a pair. What do you do? So we put the one up in the attic, and it's still up there, and it's kind of heavy. And there's a big ladder, like I said. So I didn't really want to take it down. And I said to Jen, I'm like, what do you want to do? Do you want me to take this down or find a strange corner of the attic and hide it? She's like, just hide it. So I hid it in a corner of the attic underneath some insulation, and I really wanted to write something strange on it, but I was not allowed to do that. I thought it'd be a great thing.
God, those people, like, if they ever go in the attic and find it.
Yeah. Well, it's up there by some bar stools that they're getting because they've purchased the bar that we have here along with the house. But it's kind of hidden. Because it's like, oh, we forgot it until they listen to this podcast and go, you asshole. I mean, it's
like your house now. You bought it.
Exactly. So it comes with a free lion gargoyle thing in the attic. And I really wanted, because it is a little on the creepy side if you don't know what it is. But I really wanted to like write something like the ashes of Gertrude like Myrtle or something, you know. And there's no ashes in it. It's just a porcelain thing. But it would have been kind of creepy if you find that in an attic of a house that you just purchased. And I thought that would be really
fun. Or it could have just been like Uncle Elmer.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's all.
Anyone who disturbs this resting urn will be cursed. You know, something in there like that, like some sort of a weird omen on it, because they're looking at it and reading it and they have to get light and move it around and they realize, oh my God, I just been moving this around and it says I'm going to be cursed. But that's kind of mean to do.
It's kind of mean.
I didn't.
It is. And it would terrify them forever, Tony.
Well, once they, I forgot what I, like I said the other week, I did write something on the wall behind the fireplace that we built when we were doing Junkin' with Jenny. And I don't remember what I wrote, but it was something weird and ominous. So if they ever take that fireplace out, they'd be like, what the hell is this? Like, I thought it was just kind of silly and funny. But it was funny when we were talking about that today with the thing in the attic. But then I also, tonight when we were driving back from dinner, I was just scrolling around Facebook and somebody did a very similar thing and they posted it to our Facebook page and I found it hilarious. Somebody said, I'm working on a new deck. So I immediately went out to the Benjamin Franklin or the hobby store or whatever and bought one of those plastic skeletons and they put it underneath the deck and like kind of halfway buried it. And then, you know, you put your boards over the deck and it was said, so in 20 years when they have to replace the deck, they'll find a nice surprise. They'll be this like skeleton. I'm like, that's great. That's a great idea. So there you go.
20 years of police are going to be called. There's going to be an investigation. I mean, and they're going to be like, these bones are plastic.
It's from Hobby Lobby, kids. Yeah. It's
if you look closely, there's a prize tag.
Exactly. But I mean, I can't. So I feel like I'm not the only one who's had these ideas of like, let's fuck with the new owners remotely. When you're not a ghost. I mean, it's always one of those things you think of like, well, when I'm a ghost, I'm going to haunt a place. But you can totally fuck with other people that way with a little forward planning. And you don't want a phone call from anyone going, you know, can you pick up your gargoyle lion with the weird writing on that I found in the insulation? You know, that's probably worst case scenario. So
then you're like, no, that was a housewarming gift. Like, I told you about that.
I didn't put any, there's been previous owners other than me. I didn't put any gargoyle lying up in the attic.
Like, but, what are you talking about?
No idea. Like, that's an ancient curse. I didn't touch that. I read that too. And I said, I'm not touching it. So
I think it's kind of funny that you guys had these gargoyle lions and you're like, well, let's put them in the attic. And you took them up a freaking ladder.
I don't know where else to
put
them
up there. I'd have been like, let's sell them. Or stick them in the garage.
It was in the garage.
That didn't involve a ladder.
It was taking up room in the garage. And it was one of those things where Jen had done something with them to make them, they were like porcelain, but she kind of did this like copper rusty paint thing on it. So it looked like it was rusting copper and it really looks cool. But again, it's a pair. So it's like, well, do we get rid of it? There's only one left. Like maybe we'll find a use for it. We're not hoarding things. We're really good about getting rid of shit. But every once in a while you have something you go, I wish I would have held on to that because, you know, like 3 months later, you got the perfect use for it. And so we kind of have this thing, and it's rare that I'm allowed to hang on to something like that where Jen's like, not just get rid of it. But sometimes I'm like, just 3 months. If it's still here in 3 months, we will get rid of it. And I'm good about letting it go then. But I think we forgot it was even up there. So,
well, because nobody wanted to get it out of the damn attic.
Yeah, and it had the cursed writing on it, so.
Right.
I put the writing on it, forgot I did it, and then I'm like, oh my God, this is really scary. So
I scared the shit out of myself.
Totally see myself doing that too. Where I'm like trying to fuck with other people, then eventually I get old and have dementia and I'm like freaking myself out with my own jokes. So, yeah, that's karma right there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's jump over to our first call of the day. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hello, my name is Radoni Novovich. My story takes place back in South Chicago, right off Commercial Street, the bar below my dad owned. When I was about 8 years old, it got pretty bad. My mom, all the power went out, and my mom all took us to get McDonald's Happy Meals. I begged her for an extra Tasmanian Devil action figure and the Happy Meal to slap on a Superman costume, and she said yes. We went back to the apartment, and I'm sitting in my bedroom by myself. And I remember that day, everything my mom asked, I did for her. I did not give her a hard time at all. And I'm sitting with the Tasmanian Devil action figures on the floor, and I'm slapping on the extra Superman costume, and something with a long fingernail scratched the back of my foot 3 times, really slow and hard. It hurt. I froze. I was so scared. I looked behind me, and there was nothing there. I looked under the bed. I looked everywhere. Nothing there. Well, it got worse. Throughout the years later on, I started experiencing stuff. I would wake up with scratches on me. I wouldn't be able to sleep. I would see stuff in the middle of the night, hear stuff. And we ended up moving to a house in Whiting, Indiana. And for a while there, everything was okay. I ended up getting a job as a security guard when I was 18 years old on the east side of Chicago by abandoned buildings. And I was watching them one night on a midnight. And for some reason, I was never able to watch anything on TV. Every minute, my TV would turn off on me. I would turn it back on. I had my PlayStation 2 hooked up when watching movies. The only thing I was able to watch was mafia movies for some reason. I'm serious. So I brought my friends over because they didn't believe me. My one friend Chris and my one friend Jason were sitting inside the guard shack. And out of nowhere, they freak out and want to run out and leave. I asked them what's going on because I stepped out for just a minute. And they said that it's not funny. They don't ever want to come back. I go inside the guard shack. My TV is blood red. I freaked out. And after that, it was getting worse. I felt something touch in the back of my neck. I felt everything getting really bad. And I knew soon enough, whatever it was going to show itself. The scale houses would go to 400 pounds when I was walking past them at nighttime. Stuff was happening constantly, and it was insane. When I was walking back to my guard shack one time, I looked and I thought in my head how crazy it would be if something happened and all my lights turned off in my guardhouse. I was like, maybe the light bulb went out. I went up there and the lights was sure enough was flipped out. After that, it was getting stronger because my fear was getting even more and more scared. So I sat there one day with all my might. I took my chair. I placed it against the wall. I sat there and I was praying as hard as I could. I was just saying, please, God, whatever this is, please get it out of here. I can't handle it. I know it sounds silly, but I really did this. It worked. I prayed with all my heart. After I prayed, everything went away for a second. My last week there, I brought my girlfriend because she never believed me. I was used to tell her these stories, and she never believed me. Up to that point, nothing happened after I prayed. We're walking back past a big building that was abandoned. And there's a big garage door. Now, for so many times I've tried to even check out this building, get in this building, there's no getting in there. Everything was either welded shut or closed off for a very long time. There's really no way in this building. Me and my friends have tried. Everybody's tried. Nobody can get in this building. Something was like either a gorilla or 10 men banging on this door as hard as it could. Boom, 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 boom. We freeze. We look. And it's going crazy. Boom, 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 boom. She's like, what is that? I said, just stop. Ignore it. Don't pay attention to it. I was like, just keep walking. We started walking. It stopped. The second we stopped and looked back, it goes even crazier. We take off. We couldn't even believe it. Now, I told this story to one other person. His name was Emmerich. I was working at the marina in a bird sanctuary and doing a security gig. And he doesn't believe in anything. And it's about 10 o'clock at night, and we're sitting on a golf cart in the middle of the burn sanctuary, and I'm telling him these stories. And he's like, yeah, yeah, right. When I got to that part of the story, all of a sudden, he looks back and he's like, go, 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 go. I was like, what is it? And we hear a... I mean, I can't even tell you the noise we heard. It was almost like a growl scream. I take off on the golf cart as fast as I could. I'm not even looking back. Emmerich's like, oh my God, oh my God. We got to the end and I'm like, what is it? He's like, I don't even know, dude. He's like, something was chasing us. He's like, I can't even tell you what I just seen. He's like, I can't even believe that. He's like, what was that? So I don't know, dude. I was like, I'm telling you. I was like, I'm just telling you my story. I was like, that was the craziest thing. He ended up quitting a week later. I stayed there for about another half a year. And ever since that day, I've had stuff happen to me here and there, but nothing like the experiences. I got more stories, a lot more stories. I came home one time and my friend's radio, he pulled up in front and for some reason it went on to an AM station and it's like, weird. He's like, whoa, that's never happened before. He turns it all the way down. I get up, I go inside the house. My mother always used to have side pain. And she was covering her face with her yellow robe. I went to the bathroom, came out, said, good night, Ma, I love you. And I kissed her on top of her head. All I could feel was her hair against my lips, you know? And I did not see her face. I go to bed, I wake up the next day. I'm like, hey, Ma, are you okay? What time did you go to bed? Because I seen you on the couch. She's like, Rodania, I never was on the couch. I said, what are you talking about? Yes, you were. You were in pain. She said, Radania, no, I laid next to your father the whole night. He looks at me, he's like, yeah, Radania, your mother was not on the couch last night. Her yellow robe was sitting in the exact spot. I kissed something on the head right there, and I remember it did not show its face.
And that is where his story ends. Sweet dreams.
Oh, he just got cut off right there?
Well, he went into actually giving his phone number, and I cut it off.
Because I was going to say, like, I hope he's okay.
He's fine. Yeah, that was the end of his story. Okay. He gave his phone number out and I took that out of the call. But
okay, good idea.
But that was the end of the story. I'd love to hear more from him, by the way. Please do go call in and share more because those are very good stories. I do not know. I don't think I could ever be comfortable in that house again. After that story, there's something very creepy.
The one with the mom.
Yeah, with the mom. There's something just in it. That whole doppelganger, you know, you think it's that person and you don't realize till way after the fact that that was not who you thought it was thing. The deception.
Especially since he thought it was his mother.
Yeah. That to me is one of the scariest concepts, I think, out there when it comes to the paranormal.
Because, like, we've talked about that before, that there could be times where you did see something and you had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like he thought he was saying goodnight to his mother and kissed her on the head.
Yeah.
But then he found out it wasn't. But the fact that it would be your own mother.
Yeah.
But I do think people like him, he's a good example of someone who I think is open to it.
Mm-hmm.
And whether he wants to be or not.
Yeah.
And that's why he has so many experiences like that.
I agree. It's very much a haunted life.
Although that one story where he was talking about, they heard that sound and they had to get away in a golf cart. It was kind of like that Austin Powers thing. Like, you'd want to be going really fast, but you're only on a golf cart. It's like, go, go, go. I can't.
It's like Caddyshack meets Ghostbusters.
Right. It's like, I want to go faster.
Yeah.
Like maybe the demon thing was being kind by not catching them.
That's how I had that feeling once on a golf cart right here. When we were out, I shared this story a long time ago. Me and Livy were out on a golf course here. And the golf carts have a speed limit, not like a sign speed limit, but like this. The golf carts are computer programmed to not go fast down a hill, or if you go off the path, they just turn off. It's all controlled.
It's all for insurance purposes.
Exactly. So they are remotely controlled by this thing. So you cannot just like take off with the cart. And you also can't really gun it either the way you could in a traditional golf cart. And we were on one of the tee boxes and she says to me, oh my God, Dad, there's a wolf over there. And she has a tendency to exaggerate things, you know, sometimes, as most, you know, girls do at that age. So I thought, well, you know, maybe it's a coyote or, you know, somebody's golden retriever got out. And I look over there and sure as shit, like that it looks like a fucking wolf. So, I mean, it was a big dog, and it did not look domesticated. It looked like a wolf. And they used to actually have wolf hunts in this area back in 1800s-ish, you know, way, way, way back. For the most part, they say they are not here anymore. I've heard them, and I also have now seen them. At night, we can hear them howling. So they are certainly repopulating, and that's fine.
Well, how would you know? Like, there's where you live, it's trees and trees.
We're in the middle of the Mark Twain forest, and it's all cliffs and ledges, so they're out there. And people have caught them before thinking they were catching a coyote. And like, nope, DNA test shows it's a wolf. So we're out there, and I'm like, okay. And she's like, oh my God. And I put my hand over her mouth, like, quiet, quiet, quiet. Like, let's not upset Mr. Wolf. Because he's just looking at us, you know, we're the kind of just following us with his head as we slowly inch by on the golf cart past him, where I'm supposed to go up there and hit my ball. I'm like, okay, we're not going to do this hole. We're going to keep going. So, like, we just, like, and she's like, and, like, quiet, quiet. And I'm trying to, like, you know, go as fast as I can in this golf cart, but the speed control doesn't let you go fast in this area.
It's going, like, 10 miles an hour.
So.
We could run faster, but that would be more dangerous.
Exactly. So we got away, and then by the time we were down the hill, you could look back up at the tee box, and he was long gone. I think he probably went into the woods, but I wasn't going to go back to find out if he was just kind of hanging off on the side waiting for, you know, his prey. But I know that feeling of, like, there's something you can't get away from in a golf cart. It's not fun. And golf carts do not really offer much protection.
And I really don't know that the demon would be a whole lot scarier than a wolf coming up behind you.
I don't know what I'd prefer.
They're both really scary.
Yeah. They're both like, I don't like this at all. So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our number.
Hi, Brewskies. My name is Becca. Been listening for about, I guess, 3 months now. I'm finally EPP'd up. Love everything you guys do. Love the commentaries. Jenny, you are freaking hilarious with how you just don't deal with Cody's ridiculousness. Some days you guys remind me of me and my husband. Anyhow, quick background. I am born and raised from Fort Worth, Texas. I now live in Georgia, if you can't tell with the vein in my voice. I've only had a few experiences, and mostly in my adult life. The most prominent one, and I've got a bunch, and I probably will call back again because this is the first time I'm calling, so I'm a little nervous. My mom was very sick. She was also a hoarder while I was growing up, kept me out of school. Kind of a rough background growing up. Never saw anything paranormal that I can remember as a kid. My mom was like a total evangelical, watch TV in, I hate saying this word, Bible thumper, Southern Baptist. I mean, it was, yeah. So never played Ouija boards, none of that growing up. So, jet forward, most of my life was kind of crappy. Met my husband. My mom passed away from cancer when I was 20. My husband and I lived in a couple of apartments, and the last apartment that we had lived in before we bought our house, our first house, there was something in the closet. I don't like closets after that point. This was probably 2007, 2008 era. My husband knew something was there, and he's also very sensitive, like a, as Tony scale would say, from a 1 to 10. He's probably about a 6 or 7. And I'll call back with some of those stories later if he allows me to repeat them. Once we bought our house, and this was a brand new construction house that was built in cattle pasture that I had watched over the years from the area that I was living in be built up. We had been in the house maybe a week. And a little side note, my mom did genealogy, and this ties into the story here in a second. My husband was in the front room getting his office together. I was sitting in the living room watching TV, and I caught something out of the corner of my eye. I'm like, I look again, and it is what you would call a full-bodied apparition. Spanish girl, or very Mexican, in features, tone, I could see skin tone with her, and it was all in blink of an eye, so it's very hard to recall this. And this was probably, it's 2019? It was 10 years ago. Anyway, her clothing was that of turn of the century, early 1900s into the 19-teens. She looked at me, cocked her head to one side, and vanished. Up and I scream for my husband and I tell him what happened. And he's like, okay, well, that's new and different. Didn't say he didn't believe me or anything because I'd already known his history from the previous years. And he was like, well, you know, don't pay it any mind. Come to find out later, looking back through some of my mom's old records and some of her old website publishings and stuff like that with the family genealogy, I find this picture. And it's of the same girl. And it is a long-distance cousin that is buried in the Grosbeck Cemetery down in Grosbeck, Texas, which is the town that my mom was born in. We have a lot of family down there, and I've got several stories relating to that area and Highway 14 corridor going towards A&M College. But back to the story at hand. Once I find this, I'm like, holy shit. Are you serious? Another little funny side note is before my mom passed away, she asked me to continue on the family genealogy, and I'm not a big person on that. I'm who I am. I don't really know who I came from type of person. But she said, if you continue doing the family genealogy, she would haunt my ass. So I was kind of like, oh, thanks, Mom. This is awesome. Great. My husband and I had taken a trip down to Grosbeck because I was showing him where I was from and everything. And we go walk our family cemetery that I had been in 100 times after my mom reconnected with her biological father doing the family history or genealogy. And when I was a teenager, the medallion portrait or painting, as they used to be, for this woman was on her gravestone. And at this point, when I went down with my husband, it had been taken off and no one can find it. No one in the immediate family of my cousins that are still down there can find it. I can't find the pictures anymore online or in any of my mom's files. Another quick story, if there's enough time on here. Again, my mom passed away in 2006, just before Christmas. We were in our house, and my husband had actually gone down to Florida for work. So I was by myself, and I was asleep. I'm a night owl, and at the time, it was like 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. I was dead asleep. There was nothing that could have roused me except my mother's voice screaming my middle name. And I heard it twice. The first time it was Rebecca, in her very distinct tone of, you've pissed me off and done something that you weren't supposed to do. And you need to come tell me why. The second time was a little bit more gentle. But it was definitely a, hey, wake up. Because during the first time I heard it, I didn't actually think I heard what I heard. But then the second time happened, and I was fully awake at that point. and I heard it. I checked the entire house. My husband had samurai swords at the time, so I covered the entire house with a samurai sword in my hand. And nobody was there. And again, this was in the morning. So I had spoken to my godmother about it, and she told me, yeah, that was your mom, because she's fairly perceptive herself. And after that, I really haven't had anything from my mom again in almost 10 years now. It's been 13 years since she passed. But yeah, I hope to hear this in the future. I know there's probably a little bit of a lag, so I'm not going to be impatiently waiting. Yeah, I hope it gets played. Again, love you guys. Love listening to these stories. I think it's awesome.
Well, thank you for the call and the story. It makes me wonder with the advent of Ancestry and all the genealogy websites where you can look up things and find pictures of ancestors you didn't even know existed. How often are people connecting dots where they're seeing some of these images for the first time and going, oh, holy shit, I've seen that person before. They were in my pantry the other night, and it's appearing as a full bodied apparition where, you know, it's that ghost that they didn't know who it was, but it turns out it's a long distance cousin or something of that nature.
Exactly. And I think I got the whole idea from a movie once. But like every time I look at old pictures, I'm like, wouldn't it be weird if you see yourself?
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, or if you see somebody, you know, or that. Like, mm-hmm. I saw this thing and here's a picture of that.
Yeah.
I mean, that would freak me out.
Yeah, it would very.
And I wonder, and then like here, I totally believe that she could hear her mom saying her name. Mm-hmm. But like, I always wonder, because she said that had been like 7 years ago or something. It hadn't happened in years. And I'm like, would your parents leave you necessarily? Like after they're gone, is there like someplace they got to go? Or could they just kind of hang out and be like your guardian angel person?
They got other people to haunt. They got other shit to do.
I've always thought with my dad, I'm like, he's got nowhere to go. Like,
yeah.
Where's he going to go? He's going to hang out, make sure I'm cool. That's what I've always thought in my head. So I think it would bother me if I never sensed him around me.
Sure. Sure. It's funny. Me and Harper, you know, we're very close and we talk about ghost stuff all the time. And she's like, you know, Dad, when you die, will you please haunt me? I think it'd be great if you could help out a little bit.
Only your child.
Yeah. I'm like, well, hopefully, you know, it's a long time from now, honey, and you're older and it's not. Oh, yeah, I know. But, like, when I'm, you know, 60 or so, you know, you'll be, you know, you're going to be pretty up there. You'll be like in your 90s. So yeah, it'll probably happen around there. And, you know, but you can come haunt me. It'd be great. So we've already made this pact. That I'm going to haunt her. So it'll be good fun someday.
Well, my dad used to talk too about how, like, you can't kill energy. Like, because his girlfriend had died and he got really kind of obsessed with, and he was a funeral director. So, like, kind of obsessed with what happens when you die.
Sure.
And he's like, but you can't kill energy. You can't. And so we'd have these long conversations about things. So I'm like, I think that might also be why I've always felt him around.
Sure.
But I wonder if she ever feels her mom around.
Yeah.
I mean, just because she heard her name, her mom calling her name, does she still, like, feel her mom around her?
That's a good question.
Hey, I would be really sad if I never had that feeling.
Sure. I mean, that's awesome that you can sense that and feel that.
Yeah.
Every
time I find a penny, I do. It's very strong.
I have a ghost story, actually, that I was going to talk about at the beginning of the show, but I didn't. So I'll make people wait even longer. But it actually happened over the last week in Savannah, Georgia, of all places.
Which is a very haunted city,
haunted
isn't it?
Haunted as shit.
AF.
I'll share it in just a moment. Let's do one more call first. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, all. Love the show. My name's Ryan. Call from Massachusetts. I had a super strange encounter yesterday that I definitely felt like it'd be worth sharing with the show, so I'll get into it. My friends and I, we went to an abandoned fort in Rhode Island. It's about an hour drive from where I live in Mass. And just for the sake of keeping it kind of unknown, I'm not going to say the name of it, but I'm sure if you really wanted to find it, you could just Google abandoned forts in Rhode Island. So it's a big concrete type fort with lots of overgrown shrubbery around it. So it's like, it's not super hard to get to, but if you don't know it's there, you wouldn't really know to go there. Anyways, my friends and I went. We had just flashlights and a couple of us were filming. And the cool thing about the fort is that it's just completely covered in graffiti. So it's a really cool spot to take pictures. That's kind of what we're all into, is urban exploration, hiking, and this combines both of those two things. So we go into the first tunnel, and once the overall creepiness of the place, because there's no lights or anything, even in broad daylight you need like insanely bright flashlights, at least like 100 lumens to be able to see everything. I mean, when I say total darkness, it's really like that. So after the first couple runs and tunnels we go through, the initial excitement and creepiness kind of wears off, and we're like, okay, now it's time to, now we feel acclimated. So we start getting a little bit more adventurous. We typically stay together, but I've been there so many times that I know like 90% of the tunnels and everything and where to go. So my friends are in a room, and I could see like the faint light through the dust and everything. I could see where they were, so I was just going to go down a tunnel that cuts down and around and meet them in that room. I wasn't going to scare them or anything. Like, I called out to them. So they all leave, and at this point, I'm like, okay, I'm going in this one by myself. And the tunnel entrances are, they're probably about 3 or 4 feet wide, but the thresholds are cut in half. So you have to crawl initially to get through the entrance. But once you're in it, you can stand up, and it's like a super high ceiling. I think they actually cut down the height of them to deter people from going in there, but that I'm not sure. Anyways, in this tunnel by myself, I had just stood up, and I felt like the craziest gust of wind I've like ever felt, and it was just so concentrated, and it came right at me, and it almost knocked me over. It was so intense and cold, and just so much energy was behind it. And right as that happened, I heard like the craziest like metal dropping. Something, it sounded like metal on concrete, which is pretty much the only two things in the area. So like, it honestly sounded like somebody dropped like a concrete or steel plate onto the concrete in front of me, but I would have seen it. There was nothing in front of me. They were one room over, like I said, and they didn't hear it. And I actually took a picture of that exact moment, and I use an iPhone, which has live photo. So if you press and hold the photo, it'll kind of play as like a GIF, and it also records the sound from that exact moment. And the strangest thing is you can't hear the, like the sound that I heard on the recording, but you can see like a super strange burst of dust and light. I don't know if there's a way to send over a live photo via email, but if you guys have an email address, I'd love to send that photo over. But yeah, I told my friends about it, and they're like, ah, dude, you're freaking out. Like, we didn't hear anything. I'm like, hey, I was right here, and I just felt like this insane gust of wind. And like that, it seemed pretty, like I couldn't tell if it was good or bad. I don't think I have like the best ability to pick up on stuff like that. But after that, the rest of the trip was pretty normal. We just took some cool pictures of all the street art and stuff like that, and kind of just pushed ourselves out of our comfort zone by going through tunnels and stuff like that. But that was the only really scary thing that happened. If you guys use this on the show, I'd love to hear your take on it. And if I hear it at the episode and you know of a way I can send the photo over, I'd absolutely love to. Okay, thanks, guys. Love what you do with the show. Thank you.
That's really interesting now with the live photo thing on the iPhones, where it kind of gives you the first couple seconds before the photo and after. Because it really, you know, you'll be picking up more. You can get a better look at what exactly it was that you were taking the picture of, just like he did.
Well, and then he said, you can Google it. So I did. And There's a few places in Rhode Island that are all graffitied up, but are kind of really freaky looking yet super cool at the same time.
Sure.
But there is no way you could get me to go through a tunnel. I don't care.
No.
Haunted, not haunted. It could be like the most awesome little happy place in the world, but I am not going to crawl through a tunnel. Especially when that's that dark. There's no way.
No, I completely agree.
Oh, God. And I'm looking at these pictures going, oh, hell no.
You want to see more creepy pictures of, look up Abandoned Hospital Birmingham, and you will see, we drove by it the other day on accident, because it's where GPS took us, and it wasn't the greatest of neighborhoods. It was,
oh my God, and it's huge.
Yeah, it was massive. All of a sudden, we're just driving, and we're like, what the hell? Because you're like, oh, it's a big hospital. Oh, wait a second. Half the windows are broken out of this hospital. And it's like, oh, my God. The place, I think 2008 is when it closed down. And it's got one hell of a storied history to it. But it was a big medical center there.
Oh, my God, it's huge.
In Birmingham. Yeah, and there's a lot of creepy photos from inside.
Ooh, creepy photos inside of abandoned hospital. I see it now. It
never happens. That's a creepy one. But that wasn't my ghost story. That was just something I had to add in there. So we were in Savannah the other day. And staying at a hotel. It was not like a bed and breakfast, or it wasn't even an old hotel. I don't think it was that old at all. Maybe, I don't know, 10, 20 years old at the most, I'm assuming. And it's a chain. I'm not going to say the name of it. It was on an island. So that kind of narrows it down a little bit. But, we're staying there, and in the middle of this is a big hotel, probably a couple hundred rooms in this place. And in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, we both wake up and we hear what sounded like somebody saying, hello. And then it's followed by a very sexual moan. And I'm like,
what?
And I heard it. And I don't know that Jen heard the hello part. She didn't hear the moan part. And I don't know if she just fell back asleep, because Jen can fall asleep pretty darn quick. But I heard the hello. That's kind of what woke me up. And it sounded so clear. And I'm thinking, that's a hotel. It's busy. You know, maybe it's the room next door. Maybe it's in the hall. This is about 3 a.m. And then I heard the moan. And I'm like thinking, damn, these are really thin walls. And for the type of hotel this is, you expect a little bit thicker of walls. It wasn't like the cheapo, Bill's Motel and RV park. This was, it was nicer, and you shouldn't be able to hear your neighbors, essentially. That clear, anyway. You're going to hear things in a hotel, but like, holy shit, this was clear. It sounded like it was like right there in front of the bed clear. And I wrote it off as like, well, I guess the walls are thinner than they should be. Because it wasn't even muffled. It was just like there. And then the next morning, Jen's like, did you hear like the talking in the middle of the night? I said, I woke up and I heard, it sounded like someone saying hello. She's like, yeah, I heard the hello. And she's like, and then I went back to sleep and I just thought it was someone in the hall. I said, then I heard like a real sexual moan is what I heard. She didn't hear that part. And so that's kind of where it was left. And we're both just kind of like, no, it's Savannah. Do you think it was something or just...
I mean, if you're going to be a ghost, why not be the ghost that has sex all the time?
Exactly. It's a hooker ghost.
I don't know, you think about the ghosts who are like walking up and down the damn stairs for eternity.
Yeah. This one's doing it in the... Yeah.
Like, could I do the staircase for a while? Yeah. Like, can I alternate staircase and then go get laid and then come back?
But it was like, what the fuck? But I don't know. I could have just been, it could have been the neighbors. I don't know. But damn, it was clear and it was loud. And the thing is,
you can usually tell if it sounds like it's coming from your room or another room, because another room, You might hear it plain as day, and we probably all have had that experience in a hotel.
A little muffled.
But it sounds muffly.
Yeah, and this was not that. I mean, so I don't know. I mean, it was very, very clear. And so I don't know. I mean, for my sanity and being able to fall back asleep, because I still had a lot of driving to do, I wrote it off at that moment as it's somebody next door. But I don't know. I mean, it was...
Actually,
I don't know.
The part that would freak me out more would be the hello part. That would freak me out way more than the have a sex part. Because I could, that part, I'd be like, yeah, that's somebody in the next room. But hello?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I don't know. It didn't, I mean, the hotel, like I said, it was in Savannah, yes, but it didn't have the vibes of, you know, the creepy parts of Savannah. It was more like you could insert this hotel in any city and it would have the same feel to it. So I don't know. It was interesting. I don't know if I'm going to put that on my list of haunting experiences, because there's some rational explanation that could be to it, but there's also the possibility that it was something else as well. So I don't know.
As long as your girls didn't hear the ghost.
They were out. They were completely out. It's funny because
that would be, come on.
We go
our children.
We go on trips and they're like, I'm the one that's awake still, and everyone else is just boom out, like putting pillows over my head. Everyone stop snoring. But it's great. It's great fun. There you go. It's going to wrap up the show for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Sign up on the website at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Keeps us on the air. $5 a month. Get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all commercial free. And like I said, that's how we support this thing and keep it going. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.